I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is your Calls One Planet series. A few months ago, we did a show about why millions of workers in the U.S. lack heat protections as temperatures hit record highs. Extreme heat is the number one weather-related cause of death in the country, killing more people every year than hurricanes, tornadoes, or floods. And on that show, we asked, without government intervention, what steps do workers have to protect themselves? Well, we finally have the possibility of protections. The Biden administration is accelerating its timeline to finalize a regulation that could protect 36 million workers from the harmful effects of exposure to extreme heat, according to GRIST. Last week, OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, released the draft text of a proposed rule to prevent heat injury and illness among workers by requiring companies to provide things like shade, water, and rest breaks. GRIST reports that if finalized, these rules would become the nation's first ever federal regulations on heat stress in the workplace. It would apply to farm workers, delivery and construction workers, landscapers, indoor workers, and others who are affected by excessive heat in the workplace. The development comes at the start of a summer that has already seen record-breaking heat and days after OSHA announced tens of thousands of dollars in proposed penalties for a case involving a 41-year-old farm worker who tragically died of a heat stroke while working in Florida last year. The worker's name has not been released. The Republican governors of Florida and Texas have signed laws that ban local governments from passing measures to protect workers from excessive heat. If these rules are finalized, the Biden administration would override state standards. Joining us to talk about the importance of protecting workers from extreme heat is Dr. Rachel Licker, principal climate scientist with the Climate and Energy Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists, a nonprofit that uses science to address global problems and improve people's lives. Hi, Rachel. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. This is the first federal policy of its kind. Workers have needed this for decades. How significant is this action by the Biden administration?
It's a really important step forward in ensuring that workers across the country are finally going to have the ability to stay safe in the face of extreme heat. It's not necessarily going to do everything that we need, but it's a really, really important step along the way to have something specific to this hazard that you mentioned is in the worst weather-related hazard with respect to deaths across the country.
Thinking about the farm worker who died of heat stroke while working in Florida last year, and there are just every day we see tweets of farm workers, you know, working. It's such difficult work in 100, 110 degree weather. And then I was thinking about the videos of the UPS workers and anyone who drives, the Amazon workers, and how, you know, they go to the doors and people have those ring recorders on their door. And sometimes some of these people pass out because it's so hot. Why has it taken so long for an administration to come up with these rules at the federal level?
Yeah, well, right now, I mean, or prior to this rule, the only thing that has been on the books is an act from 1970 that required that employers provide a workplace free of physical hazards, and that's it. Which is really startling when you consider the fact that there are dozens of people on average each year who die because of heat related exposure at work, and about 3,400 workers injured each year because of extreme heat. Again, on average. Unfortunately, this has become politicized. As you mentioned, there are states like Texas and Florida that have actually banned more regulations. And, you know, there are some politicians who regard this as yet another regulation. But the reality is, obviously, what we have on the books is not working. And we need something more specific to this hazard right now and in the future, because it's only going to get worse as climate changes.
This is a really important point, and this is why federal regulations are needed, because we can talk about this later in the show. California has protections along with Oregon and Minnesota, but this is just so unfair to people working in Republican-controlled states. Inside Climate News wrote about a study published in March in the journal Nature, evaluating the heat exposure of more than 4,000 prisons, jails, and immigration detention facilities across the U.S. Researchers found that the number of hot days per year increased at over 1,000 facilities, mainly in the South. They found that the states of Texas, Florida, Arizona, and Louisiana had the most exposure to potentially hazardous heat days, yet none provide universal access to air conditioning in state-run prisons. This is really important because we think about farm workers, we think about drivers, factory workers, all so important, but then you think about how hot it gets inside prisons.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. It's quite frankly, inhumane and cruel when you think about it. I completely agree. I was just reading actually in an article about California standards and some of the exceptions with respect to prisoners. So even, you know, in a progressive state, there's a lot of room to go in terms of what we're doing to protect those kinds of individuals, in really cruel conditions.
Exactly. And I mean, again, it goes back to the conversation about why this has taken so long. If finalized, these rules would help protect 36 million workers in indoor and outdoor work settings and reduce heat injuries. That's the goal. So tell us, how will workers be protected by this new measure if it is implemented?
So what the rule does is it requires that when the heat index, which is the combination of heat and humidity, surpasses 90 degrees Fahrenheit, which we know is really hot, employers are required to provide breaks of about 15 minutes every 2 hours, in addition to other measures such as access to drinking water that's sufficiently cool, shade, and also the work breaks I should mention would be paid. At the moment, if you mentioned videos, for example, of workers and the kinds of conditions that they're working within, I often think about a video I watched about grape harvesters who were given quote unquote shade, and it was really just grapevines to huddle underneath, which was obviously not going to keep them safe. So this would require workers or employers to develop plans that would provide those kinds of protective measures. And one thing I think that's really interesting to note about the way that this particular executive action is spelled out, it requires non-managerial staff to be a part of that heat standard, the heat plan development process, which hopefully will allow workers to be empowered to develop plans that will really benefit them and have good enforcement mechanisms. But of course, one can imagine because of language and power dynamics at work, it might not go exactly as planned.
Right. That's the other question, is how will these rules be enforced?
Yeah, that, I mean, I think is really something that is a gigantic question mark. Of course, there's the call from the Biden administration to have more checks, on the workplace to see if these kinds of plans are being implemented, when they eventually do. But I think that is really the next big sort of territory to pursue is the implementation and enforcement of this rule to ensure that, again, the development of the plans are actually involving workers as intended to empower them, but then to ensure that, there are good implementation and enforcement mechanisms in place and the staffing required to do so.
And you really have to think about the most vulnerable workers, especially undocumented workers, people who do not speak English. It's going to take a lot to ensure that they have access to these protections because a lot of people are afraid to speak out. I mean, especially if they live in hostile states.
Absolutely. I mean, that's been a really, really horrible thing to see just in the data in and of itself, how disproportionate these deaths do fall on the shoulders of those kinds of workers. And that really does, come down to the issues of people being afraid to, you know, report an injury, you know, being unable to advocate for themselves. There's just a really tremendous inequity and quite frankly, cruelty, you know, to people not being able to advocate for themselves and their health and safety.
Today, we're joined by Dr. Rachel Licker, Principal Climate Scientist with the Climate and Energy Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Today, we are talking about the first ever potential federal protections for workers who are exposed to extreme heat. If you're exposed to extreme heat on the job, we'd love to hear from you. How does it affect you, your health? Do you have protections from your employer? And what questions do you have about these new potential rules? We'll talk about the process involved and when these rules might go into effect. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Since we were talking about farm workers, if anyone's on Twitter, I really encourage you to follow United Farm Workers. It's UFW Updates. And every day they share stories about what farm workers are dealing with. Here's one from yesterday. Veronica shared this video from Bakersfield where the grape harvest is about to start. She'll earn minimum wage plus a small bonus for each box she fills. The harvest lasts 4 to 6 weeks depending on the quality of the grapes. The high is predicted at 113 degrees. I mean, it's so hot and people are out there like Veronica picking grapes. The UFW put out a statement about this. Teresa Romero said, every significant heat safety regulation in the United States at the state and now federal level was written in the blood of farm workers. Every year, farm workers are killed by heat with known deaths like drastically outnumbered by the unknown uncounted deaths. This is particularly true in states like Florida and Texas, where extreme anti-worker and pro-death governors have taken extreme action to dismantle the few local workplace heat protections that existed. Today, the federal government put itself on the right side of history by seeking to establish the precedent that every worker has the right to shade, water, and rest while working in temperatures that could kill them. So that is a statement from the UFW President Teresa Romero. There is a public comment period that's happening right now. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure, that's right. If you even just Google the heat standard in OSHA, that you'll be brought to a page where there is a link to the public comment process. And so people can provide input into the proposed rule. There also is going to be a public hearing as well. So it's important to note that, you know, this is not all set in stone, definitely, in the sense that, you know, there's more that's going to happen between this proposed rule and what would ultimately be implemented. I think it's really important for people who have a stake in this to have the ability to engage and, again, advocate for themselves and make sure that this is as strong as it can be. But then it's also really important to note the vulnerability of this. You know, this is an executive action. And, you know, if the administration changes later this year, you know, depending on the way the elections go, there is the possibility that this could get overturned. And there's also, you know, the recent Chevron ruling from the Supreme Court. And so it's really important to note that vulnerability, given that this is an executive action. There is actually legislation that's been proposed, the Asuncion Valdivia Heat Fatality and Illness Prevention Act, that has been pretty split across party lines. But what it does is provide a legislative mandate for OSHA to have this kind of heat standard on the books, which would provide, I would imagine, protection in the face of the Chevron ruling. So we are continuing at the Union of Concerned Scientists to advocate for that that legislation to pass so that it is not vulnerable to executive changes. But it's really an incredibly important step forward.
Since we're talking about the public comment period, I was curious about the groups that actually oppose this. And it's business groups, it's industry groups. The Washington Post reports that the construction and home building industries have asked for special treatment. In a letter to OSHA, the Construction Industry Safety Coalition, an organization that includes politically powerful groups like the Associated General Contractors of America and the National Association of Home Builders, wrote that, quote, absent a withdrawal of the rulemaking in its entirety, the agency should write a separate rule for construction workers. What strikes you about what you're hearing from those who oppose these rules to protect workers from extreme heat?
Well, I guess I wonder if they really are the people who have ever been on the job and know what it's like to toil under the heat and under the sun. I spoke with a very good friend of mine who's in the construction industry in Wisconsin, which is, of course, the northern part of the country, let alone being in somewhere like Texas in the summer. And I asked him about his experience, you know, being out there on roofs. And he said, and I asked if he'd ever gotten heat illness. And he kind of laughed and said, what do you mean? I mean, everyone in this industry has gotten heat illness. You come home caked in salt from sweating all day, dizzy and, you know, tired. I mean, that's just what happens. So you didn't even really understand what I meant by the question because it was just so universal, the experience. You know, so when you think about that, and then so many more levels of vulnerability, again, those who can't speak English, advocate for themselves. I think about pregnant workers. Mm. All of the evidence shown for the effects of heat exposure to fetuses. I think about people, you know, who have chronic kidney disease and how that's become an epidemic because of heat exposure among outdoor workers in Florida. There's a lot of research about that. It's heartbreaking, you know, so I just, when people oppose this because it presents a regulation that's cumbersome and going to affect their bottom line, well, this is affecting people's lives and quite literally their ability to live. So anything less than having something out there to protect them from that is inhumane.
Since you brought up pregnancy, we recently did a show about the correlation between extreme heat and preterm birth. Mm-hmm. There was a major investigation from Grist, Vox, and the 19th, and you can find that at yourcallradio.org. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Rachel Licker, Principal Climate Scientist with the Climate and Energy Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. We're talking about the Biden administration announcing for the first time ever at the federal level protections for workers who are working in extreme heat conditions. We should say that Cal OSHA just put out a press release and advisory earlier last week urging all employers to protect workers from heat illness, as we've seen so just 110 degrees in many parts of California. It's so hot. And they're calling on workers to train employees about heat illness prevention, to provide drinking water that is free of charge, suitably cool. They're encouraging workers to take a cool down rest in the shade for at least 5 minutes when they feel the need to do so, to provide shade when the temperatures exceed 80 degrees. What about what's happening in California? Do you know how these rules are being enforced and implemented?
That's a great question. I mean, with respect to specifics of California, I unfortunately couldn't say. But of course, California has really been a leader in this space, you know, with having something on the books at all, but also some of the specificity. Though I did mention, you know, some of the room for improvement, you know, was called out in articles recently about some of the lack of these protections for prisoners, for example.
Right. Well, this is just going to be needed more and more. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a show next week about the Union of Concerned Scientists Danger Season 2024 report. It found that over 133 million people in the United States currently face extreme weather alerts. I mean, it's just, the numbers are just astounding. So we're going to talk about that next week. I wanted to end the show with you by asking about the Chevron Supreme Court ruling. We're going to do a show about this tomorrow. What concerns you the most about this Chevron ruling, which is going to allow companies to just really go after these regulations? I mean, could they potentially go after the regulations in California?
Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, we're seeing is that things like this proposed heat standard, you know, raises the question of, again, if this is an executive action, could we have then it undone because it kind of falls under the jurisdiction of the Chevron ruling? And whether how it would pertain to the state level legislation and policy, that I wouldn't be able to say in terms of how that plays out. But yeah, with respect to the federal standard, it absolutely is something that could be vulnerable. And, you know, it puts a lot of these agency scientists and specialists into a situation where, you know, all of the evidence and all of the, from the CDC, for example, there is a lot of guidance that is being used here to create the proposed standard. You know, how is that going to be used moving forward by, if it's getting, if these kinds of standards are becoming undone, it really shifts the balance in terms of how evidence is factoring into the kinds of rules and policies from the executive side of our government. The Chevron ruling just really is creating, I'm just speaking with respect to the heat standard, a gigantic mark of concern. But of course, that's going to be the case for environmental rules and policies across the government and across our society.
How are you all at the Union of Concerned Scientists preparing for what's to come?
Yeah, I mean, this is major. It's affecting absolutely every aspect of our work. In thinking about, again, from just using the heat standard as a specific example, you know, we're looking at how we can maintain the kind of protection by increasing our advocacy around the legislative, the piece of legislation that's been proposed to create a heat standard. But of course, trying to advocate for a piece of legislation for every single executive action that could be at risk is impossible. So we need to be thinking about it at a more systemic level. And I think, you know, a lot of this is going to involve engagement with our judicial system trying to help to, you know, support people who might be trying to counter, corporations who are seeking to undo these regulations.
Well, Rachel, thank you so much for the work that you do. This is such an important topic. And again, the open comment period is happening right now. If you'd like to express your views, you can go to yourcallradio.org for more information on the first ever federal protections for workers from extreme heat. Dr. Rachel Licker is principal climate scientist with the Climate and Energy Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Thank you for your work, Rachel, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And we will be talking about the Chevron decision. It is directly connected to what we've been discussing today. We'll talk about that tomorrow. And then we will continue our series on Project 2025 on Wednesday. When it comes to climate policy, Project 2025 would completely dismantle U.S. climate policy for the next Republican president. That would be Trump if he wins. We started our series last Wednesday. You can find the show at yourcallradio.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.